Hey, what's up, y'all? I am so excited to share with you guys about this application called Anchor. I've been on Anchor for about a year. I just hit 1,000 listens, so I'm very excited about that. I don't even know 1,000 people. But all I had to do was go on my App Store or your Google Store, download the application, hit the plus symbol, and you can start recording right from there. You can also go on and edit, and you can make money from this podcast as well. Don't worry. You ain't got to go through all of that crazy stuff like posting it in all these million places. Anchor will do that for you. So it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. All right? And you can earn money, as I said, with no minimum listenership. All right? So all you got to do is download the free application or go to Anchor FM to get started. It's just that easy. What's up, guys? How you doing? Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate each and every one of you. It makes me happy to know that I have people who actually enjoy listening to the podcast and enjoy, you know, the points of view. But I would love for you guys to be a little bit more interactive, if possible. So, if you guys have any questions or anything that you want answered in a real way, all you got to do is hit me up on Reggie's_expressions. And that's spelled Reggie's_expressions. Expressions. On Facebook and on Instagram. Okay. And let me know, because I love continuing the conversation. Sometimes I can talk all day, but I can't podcast all day. So that gives us an opportunity to continue the conversation and maybe pick up on some thoughts that we didn't necessarily think of during the time frame. So again, I appreciate each and every one of you guys out there sharing. I appreciate each and every one of you guys who, you know, download the episodes and go back and listen to them and comment. Really appreciate it. Please continue to do so as we continue to watch this grow. All right. Thank you guys again. Reggie's Expressions Season 3. Whoop whoop. Guys, if you are in the local Orlando area, this is for you. I have to tell you guys this story. It is probably the best story ever. A few years ago, Carlos and I were frequenting the local Orlando farmers market that they have. And the cool thing about it, they have a lot of sights and sounds and a lot of things out there that's great, enjoyable, good food, and just a good atmosphere. Well, obviously, you know, with the coronavirus, that has been limited. But the farmer's market is open again. And it has one of our favorite people there. It's called Worthy Cakes. You can find them on social media. And you can also find them on their website, www.worthycakes.com. Now, this is the best way to eat cake, all right? They are in a mason jar, packed with so much goodness and flavor. For any flavor of cake you can think of, she has red velvet. She also has fudge brownie and birthday cake. And she also cooks them in gluten-free. As she says, cooking and baking cakes is not work. It is fun for her. She enjoys it. You can go to the website, www.worthycakes.com. You can order. And you can go to her physical location, which is in the Winter Garden area. And she will also be able to service you there. Okay. Her hours of business is from 10:30 to 6:30, Tuesday through Saturday. She's closed Sunday and Monday because she's normally at the farmer's market. And she also does the farmer's market in local Winter Garden too, as well. So, go down and check her out. And if you do go check her out, please let her know that Reggie sent you. Because Carlos and I absolutely love those cakes. I'm on my way down there now. I don't even care about the farmer's market. Just kidding, I do. And I'm so excited to have her case because it has been so long. And I'm excited that she has a storefront too. So go check her out. Tell her that Reggie sent you. And I promise you, you will not be disappointed. All right? We're going to get back into the topic, y'all. Thanks for listening again. Hey, what's up, guys? I know you guys are like, what? We get 3 episodes in 1 week? You know what? I got to make up for make up for lost time. I appreciate everybody. And I know I always say this, but I am indebted to you guys because it is exciting for me to be able to see that I have over 1.3K people that has listened to the episodes and actually attached onto it and get into it. As well as myself, you know, being a black boy from Albany, Georgia, who's always had a mouth for talking, you know, to see that people actually identify with it is amazing. And it solidifies the reason why I started this podcast, to be able to not only speak up for myself and process things that I need to process also, but also speak up for others who might not necessarily find it easy. So thank you so much again for listening. I really appreciate each and every one of you, and I will continue to give you guys great content and also, you know, show up in a way that I would love to see for myself. All right. So yes, we're going to get right on into today's topic. And today's topic is going to be about the coronavirus shot. The vaccine that has come out at the beginning of this year. Over 100 million people have been vaccinated so far. The response to the vaccination has been very, very good. And I wanted to tell you guys a little bit about my personal experience and my decision behind why or what made me decide to ultimately take the vaccine. So, coronavirus last year was devastating to us all. So far, over 3 million people have been killed by the coronavirus in the U.S. Not the U.S., I'm sorry. In the country, in the world, okay? 3 million people has been killed. A lot of those could have been prevented because early on we didn't know much about it. We didn't know how to handle it, and it was very contagious and dangerous. And as time has gotten on, we haven't stopped losing people from corona. I think we've kind of minimized the effects of it, you know, by getting fast treatment and you know, knowing what to do in terms of quarantining. And you know, before you know, in the beginning of the pandemic, I felt like we were treating it like it was a plague, like it was like, don't touch him, don't be around him. It was a very grim / contagion way of dealing with it. If you guys have seen that movie, you know what reference I'm talking about. So, yeah. But science has grown and, you know, a vaccine has been put out, which, you know, it has been met with skepticism, rightfully so, especially in the black community, rightfully so. And we're going to get into that today. I have had friends who've I've had friends who have been, you know, affected by the virus. I did have a coworker that actually did pass away, you know, from COVID, which was absolutely horrible because he was a young man, a very good young man, and it was shocking that he passed away from it. I've had a slew of people who, you know, had symptoms that were severe, like, you know, corona, but, you know, weren't diagnosed with it, which kind of leads me to believe that there was a false positive, but that's a whole different situation. But yeah, I think everybody in this world, in this country at this point, has dealt with somebody or know someone who's, you know, been touched by corona. And that's how big this pandemic is, which is why we call it a pandemic. You know, it is very serious, you know, and we definitely should take every precaution necessary, because that virus has ravaged the Black community, especially where I'm from. I'm from Albany, Georgia, and there were a lot of family members that that were affected. A lot of, you know, friends who lost family members. When I say it affected Albany, as recent as February, which is, you know, the beginning of the year, you still cannot go into places and eat and sit down. I mean, Florida has been open since the pandemic happened. I mean, we were closed for like a month and we opened right away. So it was very surprising to me to see, you know, that a lot of the businesses were still shut down in that way. But then I had to consider that Albany was one of the hardest hit areas in South Georgia. And there were a lot of family members, you know, of friends that passed away. I mean, it just really ravaged the city quite a bit. And you can tell that Albany is definitely trying its best to get back to where it's at. And that was very disheartening to see. But, you know, it was evident to see how much it affected the people in Georgia. Let alone in the, you know, in the state. So, you know, it's something that we definitely need to be precautionous. We definitely need to be precautionary. Goodness, Reggie, what is happening? Did this shot take your tongue too? Goodness. Back on track. But yeah, I decided to take the coronavirus shot. COVID-19 shot. And the initial reason that I was apprehensive about doing it, and it takes one word, well, there was two reasons: Tuskegee, and I also, three, I'm sorry, Tuskegee, which I'm going to explain to you guys a little bit about here in a moment. It also had to do with the proximity to me, you know, the ease of access in which I had it. And then lastly, it was what were the side effects? I just needed more information behind the coronavirus, because it was just, you know, Trump had been touting it for a while, and I don't trust anything that he says. So he was touting it for a while, and I was just really not interested in hearing or seeing it at all. From him. I just didn't believe it, you know? And the, you know, the proximity to me, like in Florida, they had layers and, you know, not layers, but levels in which they had people, that were able to, and I think that happened everywhere, you know, healthcare workers, you know, frontline workers were first. Then it was, you know, pre-existing conditions, and then, you know, 65 and up, and, you know, it was different levels before they offered it, veterans, so on and so forth. And when it became available for myself and Carlos, we were in the age range, you know, there were appointments that were backed up for weeks. You know, people that were still a part of the previous, you know, levels still hadn't got it. So it was backlogged quite a bit. And, you know, for me being a veteran, I decided to take the veteran route, you know, go to the local VA in my area, but it wasn't available to us just yet. So that, you know, my concern, that and my concern for the side effects were, you know, a couple different reasons why I didn't chomp at the bit of getting the virus. And I'm also a gentleman who, I used to get flu shots often when I was in the military, because it wasn't an option, I had to. I found myself always getting sick, so that was something that I was leery about to begin with anyway. So I didn't really, you know, put forth an effort to try to make that happen, for, you know, for the fear of getting sick, because I had gotten sick from other vaccinations before. And, you know, one day I was sitting at home on a Saturday, as I sometimes do, and I saw an email from the VA saying they had an open house, you know, for the vaccine, for Pfizer vaccine. I had a tough time pronouncing that. I was calling it Pfizer, Pfizer. I was calling it, I don't know, a whole bunch of stuff. And Johnson & Johnson was by appointment only, so it took a little bit longer. So I took the Pfizer one. But yeah, it was just an email that I read, and I went down and I got it, and I took the shot, and, you know, it was easy peasy. And also, I said to you guys about my hesitation with getting it had everything to do with, you know, Tuskegee. It had a lot to do with Tuskegee. Now, I know you guys are probably like, what's Tuskegee? Some of you guys are like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And some of you guys are like, what the hell is Tuskegee? What is it? So the Tuskegee syphilis study. So I have this pulled up now just because I want to get the specifics right, okay? So the Tuskegee syphilis study was in 1932. It started in 1932 to 1972, and it was a human experiment in Alabama. So it went on for 40 years, well into the 70s, you know, early 70s. And what happened was, they gave black men, unsuspecting black men, the syphilis virus, and did not tell them that they gave them syphilis, whatever you want to call it. They weren't told that they were participating in this. They said that they would get free health care. That wasn't true. And it was 600 African Americans, you know, sharecroppers in Macon County, Alabama. 399 of them had latent syphilis, with the group, control group of 201 who were not affected. And over the years, these guys had affected, you know, women and you know, other, you know, their significant others. It was just an atrocious, horrible ethical treatment that they did to us. You know, the fact that they were able to get away with it and lie to those unsuspecting African-American people. And, you know, obviously when the story got out about what happened with that, you know, situation, you know, that put a lot of skepticism in a lot of black folks' minds for the sole purpose of us being lied to. I mean, we have that happen when we talk about our experience, you know, being black anyway. People tell us that what we experience is not what we're experiencing, even though we know us. You know, that happens in every aspect. You know, and that has definitely trickled down into us seeking help right away. That's also trickled down to us being, you know, somewhat apprehensive to change and wondering what the catch is involved. It was just a horrific study. So you guys, if you want to get more information about that, please look it up. But that has definitely affected the black community, especially when it comes to being lined up, and taking the vaccine. But, it is something I think the government was subpar in, reconciling. I know in 1997, Bill Clinton did, apologize. But I don't know if those men were, or their family members were compensated, you know, at all. I don't think they were. And that just makes it much more egregious. But you can find more information about that on Wikipedia and on the internet to get more. Because it really is sad. And there's a movie about it. Lawrence Fishburne is in the movie. I can't remember the name of it. But he's also in the movie. And, yeah. If I'm not mistaken.
So yeah, go look that up, and that will tell you the reason why black people are skeptical about certain things when it comes to medical. You know, I think a lot of times that stuff is ingrained in us. It's embedded in us, you know, that concern, that struggle, that fear, you know what I'm saying? Because we go through that stuff. And, you know, the untreated side effects, you know, of dealing with that stuff is tough, you know? So, but yeah, that had a play into it, you know, when they came,
what's up, guys? How you doing? Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you there for listening. And it makes me happy to know that I have people who actually enjoy listening to the podcast and enjoy. I would love you guys. Love you guys to be a little more interactive if possible. So, if you guys have any questions or anything that you want answered in a real way, all you got to do.
I had to stop last time because your boy was over here. I was parallel parking, and y'all should have seen that shit. That shit was clean. It was sharp, sharp. That was an extra added focus. I just left Worthy Cakes. And the interesting thing about her is that she didn't remember me initially. And I still don't think she remembered me after I took down that. She was like, oh, okay, this boy. But her name used to be before Nice People Eat Cake. Or maybe I've always been Worthy Cakes, but I think then her website was Nice People Eat Cake, so .com, which will still direct you to Worthy Cakes. So, but yeah, I just got done walking around Lake Eola, or walking around the little section. I went to go get something to eat, just a quick little snack, and then walk around a bit, people watch, you know, do stuff. Okay, all right, now. Y'all better be out here in a polyamorous relationship. All right. That's what I'm talking about. Holding hands together. Yes. And they all cute too. But yeah. That was the hesitation, really. You know, I was talking a little bit about Tuskegee syphilis study. Which went from 1932 to 1972. A 40-year span where they were being dishonest. And the government later found out. Found that, you know, it was unethical in many different ways. And it's unfortunate that that happened at the hands of black folks. And that also added into the skepticism and why. Also, I mean, the unknown, you know. The fact that I didn't know what this thing was going to do. I didn't know how it was going to affect me specifically. Because everybody is different, you know. Some of the side effects and stuff that you may have might not be the same as the other person. So, as I stated, I was going to share with you guys a little bit about my experience. So, like I said earlier, I took it at the VA. And that's because it became accessible to me. I knew that I feared getting the vaccine, but I also fear Corona more, just because of what I've seen it do. And, you know, unfortunately, these diseases and things like this, you know, that happens, you know, this pandemic, it always overwhelmingly affect black people even more, you know, because of access to medical care, the non-belief of the experience that they're having in terms of pain, the fact that they feel that we can take on more pain than the average person, and compound that with all your own self-doubts, that will delay treatment in a lot of us. It's a lot of that played around in my head in my decision in making it, but it actually was a very rash decision because it became available to me. So I remember, you know, previously I expressed concerns about taking it, you know, before, and how I was going to wait until I got more information. And, you know, so far, you know, the information has been positive in terms of, you know, overall effects of it. There was one young lady that did die after she took the COVID shot. So I don't really know the specifics behind as to why, you know, she passed away from it, but there has been, I'm sure there's been multiple deaths, but that's the only one that comes to memory that I'm aware of. And, you know, just people talking about the second shot. I mean, you got to take the first one first. The second shot was the one that kind of did me in. I had a lot of people that were in my circle that said that they got the second shot, and that was the one that did them in. I had only a couple friends that were like, oh, it didn't affect me, I was okay, it didn't bother me, I was fine, I didn't feel anything. But my circle overwhelmingly was, yeah, you know, be ready. So I was concerned, you know, about that, for the sole purpose of the side effects of the second shot. And when I was in the military, I did take, you know, as I was stating to you guys before, I used to get sick from flu shots often, you know. So that was another thing that also was like, you, this, more than likely, you're going to have a bad reaction to it. But honestly, the first shot that I took, I had no symptoms other than the soreness at the shot site. You know, that was manageable. I remember moving my arm throughout the day to make sure it didn't get stiff. After I took mine, Carlos had already made up in his mind that he was going to take it. He was just concerned about the excess ability to him too. But the week after I took mine, he was able to, you know, get an appointment in Mount Dora with little to no wait at all for the vaccine. So he's waiting on his second one, which is not until later on this week. And you know, the first, it went fine, you know, took it, you know, just soreness around the shot site, and that was really it. Now the second one, that one, which is the one that I got a couple days ago, that one did me in, I have to say. And the reason I'm putting this information out here is because I want you guys to be able to make an informed decision for yourself. Whatever the factors may be that you decide to take it, let that be it. But yeah, it really did affect me. I started to have, you know, aches throughout the day after I took it, on Thursday, and that was this past Thursday. And after, you know, as the night went on, you know, Friday happened, and Friday morning, and I just remember being in bed just like frozen, because it hurt. It my body was achy, and I had developed a cough, you know, like a kind of a whooping cough to me. So, which wasn't something that a lot of people said that they had experienced. So I, you know, didn't feel well enough to be able to kind of do the normal day-to-day stuff. So, I spent most of the day in bed on Friday. And then on Saturday, which was yesterday, it was a little more of the same. You know, just lightheadedness, you know, achiness, which the achiness has gone away, for me. Just fatigued. Fatigue was both days, but yesterday I slept for most of the day. I slept until about 4, and I eventually woke up and was like, all right, well, I need to go get something to eat, you know? It was equivalent to, I was going to say flu-like symptoms. You know, the expectation that they say that you have, but it was almost as if I had the flu. It was really that bad. And, I did not enjoy it. I found myself getting hot and cold, flashes. You know, I would get really hot and then I would get really cold. Like yesterday, I felt like I was on fire most of the day, especially around my ears and my neck area. And then the day before that, I kind of had chills. And I'm normally an hot-blooded guy. Like, I typically am always hot. And for me to not be hot on Friday, you knew something was wrong. I didn't have a thermometer, so I couldn't tell if I had a fever or not. But Carlos didn't suspect that I did have one. But, you know, we... You know, I just had to let him know, like, hey, this is the situation, sir. So if you're going to take it, you need to be ready because it's going to do you in. And I still feel a little bit of the effects now. I did have a shortness of breath a little bit. There wasn't any phlegm or anything that was coming from. I think it was just my body just kind of protecting itself and kind of working, you know, to put this virus in motion. But other than that, I mean, it's been a good experience. I cannot recommend or suggest that you take it or not. The only thing I can suggest is just do your research, you know. find out the accessibility of it in your area, because I know that might have a lot to do with. I know people are thinking that there's lines out the yin yang and all this other stuff. But honestly, I was at Lake Eola just now, and there were two nurses out there that were given the vaccine, the shot, just freely, just to people that were walking around. And a couple people actually did take it. So yeah, absolutely. The accessibility is a lot more easier than it was in the, you know, previous weeks. But, you know, just do your research. You know, don't go and just make the decision to do it because, you know, everybody else is doing it. You know, I personally, it came down to, again, my protection of my family, the protection of myself, and the fear of the virus. You know, those were the main reasons why I decided that I wanted to get the virus, shot. So yeah, all in all, I can't give like a super full review on it. I mean, it's kind of what it's hard to review, you know. It's not something that you can be like, oh, well, I give it a 10 out of 10, you know, because it is something that, you know, could alter your health, you know. There was also a concern about how the vaccine would be affected by the other medicines I take, because I do take, I do have a medicine regimen for my anxiety that I take on a day-to-day basis. That concerned me. And, you know, that was part of my hesitation as well. But, you know, my sister, you know, who's in the healthcare field, she took it. She said that she just had the soreness in the arm the second time. I actually got off the phone with a friend today who was telling me that the same thing happened. Like, she ended up just being super fatigued. Like, she was super tired. She was at work, decided to go to work afterwards, and ended up falling asleep. And I had to get her husband to come get her. And yeah, that's pretty tough, you know? That's a pretty tough situation. And I also have had a friend who, you know, did survive COVID. And unfortunately, he's still experiencing side effects, you know? He was telling me a couple days ago, he was at the gym and he just had this shortness of breath, you know, and he had the coronavirus about a year ago. He got that junk when it came out, you know? So for him to still be having the residual effects, you know, of corona, you know, is scary. And he is a healthy young, you know, 30 something year old man, you know? So it's kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of thing. But at the end of the day, you have to make sure you do the, you know, best for your family. We've also know that this virus has ravaged this country in more ways than one, you know. And at the very least, you can do is to just do your part. And if that means taking the vaccination, do so. Or if that means just continuing to social distance and you know, keep your mask on and all those things. And I absolutely saw a lot of people who didn't have masks on today. But that's another story. You know, acting like Corona is over, just like typical Florida. But, you know, what can you do? So, that's about all I got, guys. I appreciate you for listening to another episode of Reggie's Expressions. Thank you so much. And, yeah, don't forget to follow on Facebook, Reggie's_Expressions. And also on Instagram, Reggie's_Expressions as well. All right? You guys enjoy the rest of your day. Long story short, do your research, figure out what works best for you, and then make a decision from that. Never make a decision on a whim. You know, think about it, because these things have tendency to have a long-lasting effect. All right? So, those are just my thoughts, and I'll check in with you guys next week. Enjoy the rest of your day. Oh, wait. Yes, I'm back again. Yes, I talked about Worthy Cakes, but realized that I did not give you guys the address. So this is what this is going to be. Again, her hours are Tuesday through Friday from 10:30 to 6:30. Saturday from 10:30 to 5. Closed Sunday and Monday. She also does the local Winter Garden Farmer's Market on Saturday. She also does the local Orlando Farmer's Market on Sunday. Okay? She is out there now. And the address is 13391 West Colonial Drive, Winter Garden. And that's 13391 West Colonial Drive in Winter Garden. Okay? So if you guys want to go by there, tell her that Reggie sent you. And, you know, see what happens. Enjoy it. Your taste buds will thank you. Trust me. All right, guys. I'm out for real. Enjoy your week. Peace.